doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Welcome to America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. We can talk a little bit about bullying now. Seems like bullying has always gone on to some degree in American schools, but in the last few years, hardly a month has gone by before you haven't heard about some incident tied in to bullying, to zero tolerance policies. We have stories going back to Columbine in 1999, where Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were supposedly the subjects of bullying in their school, and that's why they lashed out and killed all those people at their high school in suburban Denver, Colorado. And we've heard so many more stories like that, that we've taken them to be the truth. And there have been school policies that have been put in place to fight against bullying. But my next guest says that some of those school policies and anti-bully activists may actually be making the problem worse. Her name is Susan Porter. She's the author of Bully Nation, Why America's Approach to Childhood Aggression is Bad for Everyone. Susan, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks, Paul. It's my pleasure.
What are we doing wrong?
Well, I think the first thing we're doing wrong is we're talking about kids in a very, very negative way. So what's important to understand is children haven't changed. So they are not more violent than they used to be. They're not misbehaving more than they used to. Certainly social media is amplifying their mistakes, but kids are no different than when we were kids, which doesn't mean we shouldn't attend to them when they make mistakes and get into trouble with one another. But what we're doing and what started after Columbine is we started talking about them in a way that is very polarizing, creates a lot of fear, and also is making most of us really angry at children. And what we're doing is labeling them bully, victim, bystander. And these may sound like benign descriptions, but in fact, they shape how we see kids and they shape how we respond to them.
Now, there are certainly some kids who should be described in that way, but are you saying we're being too quick to use that adjective?
I actually don't think any kid should be described in that way, and here's why. Science and studies now prove that labels in and of themselves create something called a fixed mindset. So, for instance, we no longer call children stupid when they fail a math test. And indeed, research shows us that even if we call kids smart, that can be very, very limiting to how they see themselves. So I'm not saying there aren't kids who behave poorly, but if we call them bully, they're going to have a very different response, and we're going to have a very different response than if we look at their behavior instead of their character. The same way you fail a math class, you don't call a kid stupid. You say, huh, okay, what do we need to do next time? What do you need to learn? Where did you go off the tracks? Very different way of approaching things.
And have we also, speaking of behavior, have we also lowered the bar on the definition of bullying?
Well, the metaphor I use is, well, yes, we've expanded it. So I was just talking to a school principal a couple of weeks ago who said she got a very distraught call from a parent who said her child was being bullied because she was getting teased for her big earrings. And now this may sound comical to your listeners, but in fact, those of us who work in schools, once people use the term bully or bullying, according to many of our policies, we have to respond in a pretty formulaic lockstep way. And we're not able to say, well, you know, if you get teased for your earrings, there are a lot of other things that can be happening instead of calling it bullying, which really elevates it to this five-alarm kind of event. And that is bad for kids, and it's bad for us. We get very scared and very angry at children.
In introducing you, Susan, I mentioned Columbine and Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, and I'm curious because I said that the story became, well, they were bullied.
Right.
Do we know that to be not true now?
Yes, we do. And so here's what happened is Columbine was a seminal event for many reasons. Obviously, it was just a horrible tragedy, but it happened at the very beginning of a time when, so this is when cell phones were sort of widespread. Not every kid had them, but a lot of them did. And so What happened is we saw this whole tragedy play out in real time. And for instance, what just happened a couple of months ago in Connecticut didn't happen in real time. We only found out about it afterwards. In Columbine, we were living it. We were watching television. We were hearing people inside the school. They were calling the media, and the media was broadcasting. So it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying, and in a way that an event we hear about after the fact isn't, because we have a resolution. So there we were. The whole nation was terrified. And then almost immediately after it was over, we were looking for answers, which makes a lot of sense. And the answer that the media glommed onto was that these boys had been bullied. Well, it took years to unpack the real story, but in fact, they hadn't been bullied at all. But that didn't matter anymore. We now had in our mind this idea, whether we were thinking about it consciously or not, that what kids do to each other could result in a Columbine. And that's all we needed to become panicked.
This is America Weekend. I'm Paul Harris, talking with Susan Porter, who's been in schools for 25 years, licensed school professional, who's been working with kids, and writes about the bully nation that we find ourselves in now and why America's approach to childhood aggression is bad for everyone. And I think of this from a perspective of a parent myself. I remember when my daughter started going to school, one of the things that my wife and I told her is, look, if you have any problems at school with the teacher or with the other kids, you come tell us about it, which I think is what every parent probably has to tell their child at some point. But it's what you do when the child then comes back to you and tells you about a problem they have with another student, that's where the whole bully nation concept begins, right?
That's right. It's how we're responding. So let's say your daughter comes to you and she's very upset by how she's been dealt with her peers. I am not saying for a moment that we ignore a child who's in pain. That's not it at all. But how we deal with that pain, how we talk to that child about that pain. So let's go back to the metaphor of being stupid and failing a math class. Let's say your daughter comes home, she's failed a math class. Do you get angry at her or scared for her? Oh my God, you're never going to pass a class again and you're stupid. No, you help her work through it. You help her strategize. And you also give her the tools to see beyond it. So you don't villainize the other kids and you don't make her a victim, because that keeps her paralyzed. That keeps her thinking that she can't problem solve. Now, sometimes when people hear this, they say that I'm just supporting bullies. That's not it at all. I'm supporting all children, but I've worked with children long enough to know that every single one of them is capable of change, and not only capable of change, change is inevitable. But if we lock them into thinking with these labels, so if you say to your daughter, oh my gosh, you've been bullied, that is going to create in her a mindset that's really terrifying for children and limits how they can see themselves and other kids.
And does it affect their resilience?
Absolutely. Sometimes people accuse me of not caring when people are in pain, and that's not it at all. I'm a psychologist. I care deeply when people are in pain. But I also know that the quickest way to deal with pain is to help people move through it rather than attach themselves to it. When you call a child a victim, you don't even have to call the child a victim. If you just call the other kids bullies, kids are smart. They know if you call another kid a bully and they're on a receiving end, they're a victim. And then that makes them think, oh my gosh, I don't have power. I don't have strength. I'm defined by my pain. I can't think my way through this. I may not be able to deal with this. Now, that doesn't mean the child doesn't need help and support and maybe counseling and all kinds of stuff. But let me tell you, these labels aren't just about semantics. They are at the heart of how we are helping children understand themselves and understand their problems with each other.
I would also argue, and you write about zero tolerance in your book, that notion of zero tolerance, which took common sense out of the equation in too many schools, has also been a factor here. I've only got about 30 seconds, but talk about the zero tolerance aspect of it.
I love that. Common sense. Yes. Zero tolerance. We should have zero tolerance for lots of things. You can't have zero tolerance for kids making mistakes. And that's what we're doing. We are thinking, and we are telling kids emphatically, you shouldn't make a mistake here. But it's about their aggression. It's about their relationships to one another. They're going to make mistakes all the time, the same way they do in math. If we say you can never make a mistake, what we're telling them is we're not going to teach you and we don't believe you can learn. And that is very damaging for kids.
Very interesting point, Susan. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Paul.
That's Susan Porter, 25-year veteran of schools from pre-K all the way up to graduate school. Her book is called Bully Nation, Why America's Approach to Childhood Aggression is Bad for Everyone. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. Our phone number is 855-538-TALK. We are on Twitter, at America Weekend, and we'd love it if you would like us on Facebook as well. Coming up next, knuckleheads in the news as America Weekend continues on the Envision Radio Networks.